Welcome to Bad Gamers Anonymous, a podcast for bad gamers that's made by bad gamers. We cover the latest in gaming news, game reviews, upcoming releases, and a look at retro titles that made gaming what it is today. Here are your hosts, Bad Gamer Bishop, Bad Gamer Crowley, and Bad Gamer Garrick. Remember, get good scrubs.
That's right, get good scrubs, it's that time again. Welcome to another episode of Bad Gamers Anonymous. I am your host, Mr. Crowley, and I am joined this week, as I am every week, by Garrick, except this time he's brought a friend with him. It's his cold.
That's right, I am sick.
Awesome, he's got a man cold, so everyone feel very bad for him and get him some chicken soup. Lots to talk about this week, and before I pimp everything, as I do every week, the long list of things and places you can find us, we've got two very special guests with us this week to talk about Star Wars Battlefront, EA, Lucasfilm, Disney, and the debacle that has been going on for the last week. It's Mike from the Cantina Cast. Mike, how are you?
Well, hello there. Well, I got to say, I like loot crates, and yeah.
Perfect. That's a good way to start the show right there. Mike and I have been podcasting for years. Met him through Star Wars The Old Republic back in the before time when Star Wars The Old Republic didn't suck.
You want to talk about a cluster back in the day, that whole game there. But go ahead, continue, sir.
No, you're right. And guess who owns it? EA.
Which I just want to say for the record, Crowley, I know I'm in favor of this loot crate stuff and we come on opposite sides here, but I just want you to know that EA, I'm not a big fan of that because of all that stuff back in the day. So I'll just leave it at that and we'll go from there.
Perfect. So that's a good intro there for Mike from the Cantina Cast. And we've got from the Cantina Cast Discord, Cab, who has played Battlefront 2 with us several times during the beta and whatnot. And he's also a filthy Xbox user. Cab, welcome to the show.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Perfect. He's an Xbox user.
Yep. I'll just leave the introduction at that.
He also plays on the PS4 with us because PS4 rules. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/badgamersanonymous. Twitter at badgamersanon. You know where to find me, Bad Gamer Crowley. You know to find Garrick DR. We've also got an Instagram. And if you've got a comment on the show, you want to tell us why you're still boycotting EA, you want to tell us why you love EA, you want to tell us why EA fired you, you want to tell us why Lucasfilm fired you, you can call us at 319-804-9205. Just wait until you hear the message and then leave yours. Mike, like I said, he is the founder and one of the hosts of the Cantina Cast. You can find him on iTunes. Just look for the Cantina Cast after you've looked for Bad Gamers Anonymous, obviously. And check him out. He's also on Instagram, the Cantina Cast. You can just search for that on Instagram. And he's got a Discord, and this Discord is just amazing. A lot of things going on in the Discord all the time. Usually it's just me.
Shut it down is what I should do, but that's, you know.
It's just usually me causing a lot of trouble. So check him out there. All you got to do is go into Google, the Google machine, and type in Cantina Cast Discord. I promise you'll find it. It's a good time. You've got a lot of good people over there. Even, you know, when I don't agree with everybody, there's still a good bunch of people. And they're Star Wars fans through and through. And it's great. And it's 100 times better than Reddit. It's 1,000 times better than Twitter. And I don't know what 4chan is, but from what I was told about it today, it sounds like it's a million times better than
4chan. Well, I thought 4chan was for serial killers and like child molesters or something, but that I could be wrong. I don't know.
I've never been there, so you might be right. So, Cab, do you want to give out your Twitter or your gamer tag or anything?
Sure. Well, I'll start with my Xbox gamer tag since that is my console of choice.
You realize I'm going to edit that out of the show, right?
Yeah. I fully expect that.
Perfect.
Xbox gamer tag Cab CAB512. Same on PlayStation.
You can find Mike at Phasma's Lover 66 on the PlayStation Network.
Since, you know, my old gamer tag for Xbox was Halo Victory 76, because back in the day, I would just lob grenades everywhere because I was so horrible. And I just, and Brian used to, my old co-host used to say, I it's a Halo Victory. So that's why I went with that. I should go back with that. I don't know. But anyway.
I think you should lead with that from now on. Just on every map, just throw the grenade.
I usually do, actually. I still, the barrage is one of the things that I use in although I haven't done that yet, but I'm working on up in the star card. But anyway.
So with the release of Battlefront 2 this last Friday, we are going to talk about it. This is actually, you know what? Last year at this time for Thanksgiving, there were people who were freaking out over what they were going to talk about at the Thanksgiving dinner table. Did they vote for Trump? Did they not vote for Trump? Did Hillary get screwed? Where are the Russians? Why is a shirtless Putin at my dinner table? Lots of questions that needed to be answered and nobody wanted to ask them. This year, the controversy at the Thanksgiving dinner table is going to be the loot crates and RMTs, real money transactions, microtransactions, loot boxes, whatever you want to call it. We talked about that a little bit last week, and this week we're going to dive into why Battlefront 2 has an issue or had an issue and the opportunity that EA has in front of them and whether or not they will seize it. So Star Wars Battlefront 2 developer was DICE, just as they were with the first one. The publisher, EA. Now, I'm just going to say right off the bat, I'm very disappointed that there is not a VR mode in this game, at least not yet. They may put out, like they did last year for Rogue One, there may be a VR mission in our future. But I really wanted a full VR mode, so I'm a little disappointed with that. But besides that,
you're disappointed at everything, though, aren't you, by nature?
I think by nature, yes. I'm just an absolute pessimist.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his modus operandi.
I am a glass not full kind of guy. So I want to start with EA's statement that they put out. And they put this out on the 16th. And it basically, I think you've probably seen it on Twitter or on Facebook or on their website, somewhere you've seen it. And basically it says, as we approach the worldwide launch, it's clear that many of you feel that there are still challenges in the design. We've heard your concerns about potentially giving players unfair advantages, and we've heard that this is overshadowing an otherwise great game. And then in bold print, it says this was never our intention. Sorry, we didn't get this right. We hear you loud and clear, so we're turning off all in-game purchases. We will now spend more time listening, adjusting, balancing, and tuning. This means that the option to purchase crystals in the game is now offline, and all progression will be earned through gameplay. The ability to purchase crystals in-game will become available at a later date, only after we've made changes to the game. We'll share more details with you as we work through this. Oscar Gabrielson, General Manager at DICE. So I just real quickly, I want to translate that statement for all of you gamers out there, the bad gamers, listen to the show, who might be going, I don't understand this business speak. What does that mean? Here's the translation. Gamers, Disney told us to stop screwing up their IP. We're sorry, and all drama will soon be gone. We're sorry we're so bad. Thanks, EA. Now look, Disney's no stranger to any kind of drama of any sort. You follow their movies, the Han Solo debacle is fresh in Disney's memory, where the two co-directors walked out, got fired.
Well, you could go further back than that, Carly. You go with Josh Trank with the Boba Fett movie that was going to be coming out. There was a problem there. The Rogue One had to do the reshoots, which was worse than what we actually thought. I mean, I know on the show, on the Cantina Cast, I was saying, reshoots happen all the time, because I don't know too much about the movies, as I don't think all of us really get into the whole movie business of things. But, you know, there was extensive reshoots. The whole movie was different than what we'd seen in the trailers and everything. Although Disney has a thing of doing that anyway, misleading us when it comes to the Star Wars stuff and everything with trailers and stuff. But there's been problems throughout. JJ had a few setbacks on The Force Awakens, you know, Harrison Ford getting injured and stuff like that. So it isn't anything surprising. You know, they don't like drama and stuff, so you got to give them credit. They put their foot down when there's a problem with Star Wars, and they handle it when there's a problem.
And they definitely did this time as well, although probably not as quickly as a lot of gamers wished they would have. And you're right, Disney has seen its fair share of drama. I mean, there was the Ewoks, and then Jar Jar.
Well, the that Ewoks was pretty Marvel. Dizzy. Jar Jar's quite fine.
So anyway, like, do you disagree, Garrick, at all with the statement that DICE came out? Do you believe that Disney kind of, like, we know there was a phone call between the head of EA and somebody high up. It wasn't Kathleen Kennedy, but it was somebody high up in Disney for a few hours over this before this statement was released.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely higher-ups had a hand in ultimately making this decision. I think even left to their own devices, though, DICE alone would have probably either turned it off or done something to make this better for the gamers. DICE is all about the gamers. They want to make a good game. That's why they took out a season pass this time around and tried to do an alternative revenue model. So I'm sure EA and Disney had a hand in this, but meh.
Right. I would agree with that, Mike. Like you said, Disney's no stranger to this, and they do move in when they need to. Do you think Lucasfilm had that high-level conversation where it was like, this needs to get fixed, and this needs to get fixed now, because we can yank your license anytime we want?
I don't know. I mean, is there any – I was just going to ask you or Garrick, is there any proof that, like, Bob called whoever at EA and said, hey, you kind of want to fix this? I don't know. Is that really true?
I know I saw something. I'm trying to see if I can find it again. Some title a couple levels below Iger had called over.
Yeah, there
EA
was there was a 3-hour phone call that's pretty well documented between the two. And I think I believe that Oscar Gabrielson admitted as much at some point. That there was a phone call that he had with Disney or a representative from Disney. Like, those are phone calls that you don't want to get.
Well, I think what the controversy really was, and I think with Disney and with Bob and even EA, is this whole gambling situation. I don't think it's so much the gamers who think they just won this big war. And maybe they did, but I think it's more of the legal aspects of gambling. I think it's over in I forget where it was, in Europe or something. They were investigating it. And, yep. You know, over here in the States, because we're almost, you know, communists ourselves now, you know, the government's going to get involved somehow, because it always does, because they really want a piece of the puzzle.
They really do. They want a piece of the pie, for sure.
Exactly. And I think this is what scared Disney or whoever is at the helm there, Bob, and is like, hey, we can't have this gambling thing. I mean, kids are involved here in this whole thing, parents. We don't want this crazy stuff. I think that's what the bigger issue was right now, because as you said in the speak here, in your translation, it said it'll be back soon, but it'll be revamped and everything. And yeah, but my biggest gripe with all the gamers complaining, I kind of agreed with them. All right, there was a problem. There was an issue. Obviously, you guys wanted addressed. You felt very strongly about it. Okay, that's not I don't fault you there. But I was like, with other people, I was like, all right, well, can we launch the game officially? Get in there, see what it's about, see what's going on, and we'll adjust. Because I think, I think Cab said that, you know, DICE is about the game, or Garrick might have said, is about the gamers, and they will listen. And they have been listening, because they've listened after Battlefront 1 launched. They kind of listened to people, and it got a little bit better. But granted, it was too late. Everybody vanished and went off to do something else, because right. It wasn't all that wonderful. You know what I mean? And they want to get this right, because they're invested in this till, what, fiscal year 2019 or something like that. So it's going to be around a while.
Right. No, so, they definitely, you know. Yeah. EA has the license for 7-8 more years, something like that, regardless.
Correct.
Yeah, you're right. They want to get this right. I think you're right. DICE does listen, but DICE is not EA, and EA has...
I agree, yes. You're correct, yes. But you can't fault EA. They're capitalism, baby. They got to make money.
No, I don't. You're right. Yeah, all right. And this is my point with somebody on the Discord, the CantinaCast Discord earlier, is that EA has a business model, and they've had this business model for years now. When you look at Madden... and you look at Battlefield, and you look at Need for Speed, there is a real money transaction element to their business model. That is how they make money. Now, certainly with Madden, there you can get away from that. You don't have to compete with those who use real money transactions to make their team better. Same with FIFA. You don't have to compete. The problem is in multiplayer. With this game, you're competing with people who spent money, and there's no way to separate the two. Now, there's an arcade mode that you can play online, and we'll get in that a little bit later, that you can play with someone else split screen, but there's no real way to separate the two. They capped what you can, what the credits you can make in arcade mode at 500 because they said they didn't want players exploiting it, leaving out the fact that players could exploit purchasing those credits.
Well, I'm going to say this because we're going to get into confession time with Uncle Mike here. all right, so because Joe kind of called me out on it on our Discord thing, and I just didn't confess to it, but I did invest $100 into this to see what the hell was going to happen. So, yes.
$100
Yes, correct. So here's the thing. Yeah, I wanted to do $100. I wanted to figure out. I had money to burn, so I did it. You can all throw stones and email me and everything else if you want. But for scientific reasons and for all us people that suck at gaming, I did this scientifically. So here it goes. Yes, for science. Exactly. So I did it. Now, here's the thing. You get all your credits, your crystals and everything. And I didn't really spend all that much at first because I didn't know what the hell was going on. I'm like, all right, well, what is this going to get me? Not as much as you'd think because the cards are random. When you select a crate, it's all random,
right?
And stuff like that. So now when you get your cards, and here's the thing. There was other issues. Like when I logged in first, I didn't get all my loot from the for buying the pre-order and everything. So right. Joe has got his. He's got purples. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So I had to shut the game down, come back in. And I had it all there. And then I got my purple cards. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. My heavy just jumped several spots here. What's that all about? So Joe and I, as we were playing through it, he went into one of his cards, his star cards, and he unlocked it with the crafting stuff.
Yeah, the parts.
So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, well, wait a minute. Okay. Oh, I see how it goes. So you go in and you unlock all that. And that's what I did with all of it. That's all I did. I basically unlocked it. Now, here's where there is checks and balances. Now, could they fix it? Yes, I agree they should fix it, and they probably will. The problem, the thing you have to be aware of is, all right, so now I took a card, a star card, and I used my crafting stuff on it. So I went from a white to a green to a blue. Well, I can't turn that blue into a purple until I get to level 15 with my heavy, with the regular level, like your normal, your progression thing, which I get, and it confuses people. So the overall, I'll call it the overall level, which is you got to get to 15. All right, that's great. So now I can go from, I think it's a green to a blue or whatever it is. But that blue, I can't take that blue and turn it into a purple till I'm a level 20 overall. So there was some checks and balances. This is where the YouTube gamers aren't explaining that to you, that there were checks and balances. So a gamer like me who stinks, and I purchased my things and I bought all my cards and all that other stuff, and I'm leveling up and everything, but it's not really letting me just spend all the $100 on, like, oh, I'm going to turn this card into from a blue to a purple right away. It doesn't work that way. So there are some checks and balances. Now, you know, you can argue all day. Is it right? Is it wrong? Yeah. All right. I think they'll fix it. They'll get it right at some point. That was my big gripe as it is. Was it worth $100 for me as a gamer? Yeah, it worked out well for me because, as you saw last night, Raleigh, I did all right.
You
but
did
actually,
all right. That's right.
I don't think it's necessarily the cards. It's actually my gameplay has gotten better. I don't mean to brag because I did exploit the game last night when I was in that tank, Raleigh. As you saw, I just kept unloading on everyone with the tank.
Yeah, you are not a bad gamer. Like, I don't even know why you're on this show. You're not a bad gamer.
No, I really am. And the thing with the tank is, and that, now I'm worried about when they come back and look at things, they're probably going to make that reinforcement more to get it, because I think it's only 1,000 and you can get up to 1,000 battle points pretty quickly.
Right.
And then you can just exploit the heck out of it with that tank on Kashyyyk there, and you'll have a field day. As soon as you get in it, you're good to go. You can rack up the points, and it's crazy how you can do that. But anyway, I'll shut up now and let you guys speak.
No, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, and I certainly don't begrudge anyone who spent money on the game. I don't. My problem is that they didn't set this up in a way that those who didn't want to spend money in the game didn't feel like they were getting left behind. Like we said last week, and Garrick, I think you could probably speak to this a little bit more than I can, is that it wasn't bad because it's not technically pay to win, but it felt wrong. And even after they made the first change, which they felt like the biggest thing that gamers were complaining about, was that it took 40 hours to unlock some of the heroes. The problem is I didn't really have an issue with that. I've complained how many times, Garrick, on this show about games are too quick. I want to play a game for a long time and I want to feel rewarded in the game. And that certainly did it. But when they did that, when they said, okay, we're listening, we're going to do this. Well, they weren't really listening all the way. So it felt dirty. It felt Harvey Weinstein dirty, like, just wrong.
Yeah, it definitely felt bad. I still stand by that it wasn't a direct pay to win. I think it's an indirect pay to win, because you can't buy those hero characters with the crystals. Like, you can spend $100 all you want, but you're not getting crystals.
Correct.
However, one thing that has changed from before the game launched to now, I don't know what happened, but before the game came out, it was supposed to be any extra star cards you got crafting parts, and that you could use to make whatever other mods or star cards you wanted. Well, that's changed. The extras you get now give you credits. So now, any extra star cards you get from, say, purchasing a whole bunch of these loot boxes, you're going to get a bunch of extras, you're going to get a lot of credits, and then you could buy the heroes you wanted. But I don't know what happened to change that. But
I don't know if that was part of the first change, like the first wave. They were like, okay, fine, we're going to give you more credits so you can unlock your heroes faster.
And well, maybe, the other thing that did change is I remember in the beta, we were crafting the attachments for the blasters and everything. Now it's you just got to unlock them when you go and progress, which is fine. I get that. You want to that's got to be part of the change, I would think. I don't know.
I would imagine. And the progression system, I mean, if you're going to boil this down to why that first change didn't work, I mean, that's it. This progression system, not only is it confusing and convoluted before they implemented this change, it's even more so now, and it's just frustrating. Last night, I had to ask Mike, hey, why are you level 36 heavy and I'm stuck on level 12 specialist? He's like, you got to unlock your cards and then you got to upgrade them. I'm like, huh? What? I knew I could unlock the cards, but I had like 800 parts. And I'm like, what am I doing with these? Like, do I need to save them? Should I save them so that I can upgrade blues to purple when I get blues out of loot crates? Like, what am I? No, it's just very convoluted and confusing. Then there's, like Mike alluded to a little bit earlier, there's two levels. There's your overall level, and then there's your level for each specific job, whether it's officer, assault, heavy, or specialist. So you have to level each one up, and then you have to unlock achievements in game, not PS4 achievements or Xbox achievements or trophies or whatever you want to call them. There's achievements in game that you use to unlock milestones that give you new weapons, access to, you know, being able to unlock new accessories for the weapon that will make it a little more powerful, a little more stable, a little more. To me, an old man, 41 years old, who's played games since he was knee high to a grasshopper. Do people still use that phrase? I don't know. Regardless, I've played games my whole life. It's confusing as all get out.
See, the funny thing is, Crawley, I'll say this. EA or, well, DICE or whatever, they should have done a better PR job with the leveling system or the way that progresses, and not rely on the YouTube celebrities there that they have come in and test the game and everything. Right. They should have.
You got John Boyega to do a video for the beta. Why don't you get John Boyega to explain the progression system? Like, he doesn't have to really understand it. He can read it from a cue card.
Exactly. And he plays. He probably could actually explain it pretty well.
Get Daisy Ridley to come in, and then you have Mark Hamill go on Twitter and troll everybody by releasing a different video on how to do it differently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the thing is, I just figured it out, whatever, that first night with Joe. It was like, all right, here's your overall progression, and here's your level. I think this is where I don't really have a problem with it because, all right, because as we said earlier in our Discord, all right, the main, and Joe thinks opposite of me. He thinks his class leveling is a pain in the butt, where I think the overall leveling is the drag. Not as bad as the original Battlefront 1 a couple of years ago. This seems to be a little bit faster and whatnot. But to me, I think the class thing, it was to make you feel like you were doing something and achieving something with the classes. And of course, there are those, like I said, you have to get a certain level to go further with unlocking your star card. So there is some checks and balances. Is it wonky? Yeah. I mean, they got to explain it a little bit better. I mean, I picked up on it and figured it out. I'm sure a lot of other people can too, but it should be simpler. I would agree on that. Now, what are they going to do ahead? I don't know, because everyone, like, say me, for instance, is up to whatever it is on his heavy. Overall, I'm at almost level 16 now. So what are you going to do? What are you going to have an overall level? What are you going to do? What are you going to change?
Well, I know there's a level 50 achievement in game. So I'm guessing 50 is where it's capped.
I would imagine. I think, but you know, I mean,
let me bring Cab in here, because Cab, you're a millennial like Garrick. you're a youngin. You're a Padawan, not quite a master yet.
At least a knight.
No, you are not a knight yet, sir.
Fine.
You still play on Xbox. Like, was this confusing? is this progression system confusing and convoluted to you? Like, I get that I'm old and, like, just get off my lawn. I can't figure it out. My VCR is still flashing 12. is that what it is? Is that the case for you?
I guess I haven't given it enough thought to even be confused by it. I've kind of just been...
You just play, you know, with the, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly. And then I pick up on, you know, the gimmicks and whatnot, either by immersion in the game or, you know, by, so like Mike, when you mentioned the, you know, buying the star cards with the crafting parts last night, I hadn't caught on that yet. And so once you had mentioned that, I went through both on PS4 and Xbox. And I used, you know, all those crafting parts that I'd stockpiled up until that point to help level up, you know, the classes that I used.
So this wasn't confusing for you in the slightest. You don't think about it. You're able to navigate it deftly by just playing it.
I don't know about deftly.
Well, I'm not saying you're a good gamer. What I'm saying is that the leveling system to you, it doesn't not feel intuitive. It feels right. You're okay with the way it is. You don't think it needs to be changed. Okay. Yeah. Garrett, do you feel the same way as Cab? Like, you both are about the same age. Like, is this a thing?
As a fellow millennial, I don't know what the heck is going on in this game's multiplayer. I don't know anything about using crafting parts and upgrading my thing. I'm pretty sure my classes are still like level 3 because I don't get loot boxes. I've been saving up all my credits and buying heroes with them because I want to unlock all the heroes first and then I'll buy some loot boxes.
So it's a gamer by gamer basis, it's hit and miss. Like, some of the people,
it's really preference, Crawley. Actually, to be honest, like with me today, like, I did a little bit of grinding this morning. And I just did the arcade mode before we came on air. I was doing the arcade mode. I got the dark side crate finally. I did that and stuff. And then I was going in and I unlocked. I reached level 15, so I took all those green cards that I had. And you have to invest where you want to invest. Like, I'm heavy into the heavy, so I just did all those cards. I turned them all blue. Now I'm at 57 or 52, I think it is for my heavy.
Why am I playing with you? I am an awful gamer, and you are so far ahead of the curve. And I'm just going to say it's because you bought loot boxes, you cheater.
Well, I did tell you last night you should have just, you know, because you were complaining about the grind. I said, well, if you had loot boxes, you would, you know, if you could pay to win, you wouldn't be in that position.
Well,
right?
I probably would, because I don't think the wife would be like, yeah, sure, go ahead and spend another $100 on the game.
No. See, because I just wanted to do 100. That was my limit. That's what I said before going into it. I said, I'll just do 100, and that's it. And it got me. Here's the thing. I didn't spend those crystals all that quickly. Like, I didn't really. You want the well, you got to say this. The beautiful thing about it is when you do the loot boxes and you get the duplicates, you get cash, which unlocks those heroes and everything. So there is some checks and balances. Do they need to work on that? Yes, I absolutely do. Do I feel like some of the heroes they nerfed it too much? Like, they should have just kept it, you know, in between me. I don't know. Heroes. Yeah, go ahead.
I think there's going to be more heroes, more villains added as the game goes on. We obviously know about some of the new ones coming out. But I think if they're smart, and this is kind of where I want to go with this. I don't think we can harp on this any more than what we already have. But there's just a couple of quick points that I want to get to real quick. I think if they're smart, EA has an opportunity here, an opportunity to actually change the gaming industry for the better, to get rid of RMTs in a pay-to-win way, in a game that you're paying for. As we discussed last week, free-to-play games, I don't care if it's pay-to-win because it's free-to-play. That's not like you expected in those games. But when I'm dropping 60, 70, 80, upwards of $100 on a game, I don't want to be bombarded with in order for you to get good, you're going to have to get these cards. I don't want that. Whether or not that's how this worked, that's how the community felt it worked. And they felt like Harvey Weinstein was trying to put them in his bed. And that's not something that you want to be felt like.
Well, the flip side to that, though, is like for me, who can't grind and do that all day like a 14-year-old and sit there in front of the PlayStation and play all day, you know, the pay, I don't want to use that term, but to be able to do transactions to get those star cards instead of grinding it out for all those hours because I can't. And it works out well. You know what I mean? So that's
a valid point. That is an absolute valid point. So I think that there's two sides to this coin. I
think that's the problem. You can't find that balance with this. It's not a perfect world. It's not a perfect system. Yeah. You know, it's almost impossible. I think they wanted to do the option of, all right, if you want to be, if you're a good gamer and you can grind it out all day and play 8 hours to make YouTube videos and make a living on it. Okay, good. Here you go. You can do it through that progression. But if you're like Mike, who works a full-time job, has a kid and all this, and his crazy podcasting thing, he's got limited time, you can buy as well. You could, as long as it was even. I don't think it was even. I think it was an issue there. So, you know, I don't know.
No, I don't disagree. So then that brings me to my next point. Who did they listen to? Did EA listen to the paying customers complaining about what was going on in game? Customers who bought the game, purchased the game, had early access because they spent $80 on the game, or they're EA Access members, and so they got the early access even before the deluxe edition purchasers. Like, did they listen to those folks? Did they use the metrics inside the game that they could look at to be like, they're not using this? Not only are they complaining about it, they're just not buying the loot boxes like we thought they would. We're not seeing the sales track like we anticipated. So did they listen to that, or were they like, this is blown up on the internet and now we have to fix this? Like, which one is it? Was it the entitled gamers, or was it the paying customer? Garrick.
As I've mentioned before, have always been of the opinion of capitalism and that you vote with your wallet. I think that EA and DICE look very strongly at the analytics that they can actually see themselves. And they'll say, cool, out of this many people that bought our game, only this many have actually bought loot crates. And they can see that. Whereas they're seeing and hearing and listening to the vocal minority on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and what have you. I do say, however, that this time around, the bullies have won. I think people on Twitter, these verified accounts going on and just harking on EA and DICE for their decisions in this, I think it definitely, definitely had an impact on them, because I don't believe that DICE and EA have enough data from their analytics from the game being out for only 3 days for deluxe edition only to really back up their decision to completely omit crystals for now.
Well, we kind of got roasted on Twitter by a couple of people like, you're traitors. I can't believe you did this. You do have to vote with your wallet, and you gave them money for a game. Well, yeah, but I didn't give them money in game. I did. I know you did. So is that dirty? Like, Cab, is that dirty? If you say, I need to vote with my wallet, so I'm going to purchase the game, but I'm not going to purchase loot boxes, is that bad or is that good?
I would say if you want in-game purchases, pay to win, whatever, you know, whatever level it is at, or, you know, purely cosmetic like Overwatch, I think that it is much more constructive if you just quote unquote protest that part of the game by not, in this case, you know, voting with your wallet and saying, no, I don't need these RMTs, the pay to win, you know, elements that, you know, people have obviously gotten frustrated over. And I think it's far more constructive to just say, no, don't want to be a part of that. I'll enjoy the game for what it is. You know, here's my 60, 80, 100 bucks right out of the gate.
I have two entitled millennials here who side with me that say, vote with your wallet. If you want to play the game, play the game. Just don't buy the stuff in game and they'll see that. So perfect. So all of you entitled millennials that roasted me on Twitter, suck it.
Well, I'll even say this, Crawley, I was in favor of it. Obviously, great. Was it perfect? No, I admit to that and all that other stuff. But I agree with you guys in a sense that, like, if you don't like it, you don't buy it. Eventually, like as Garrick said, they'll see the analytics. And that was my biggest gripe. Let's see where it goes. And then when they look at the data that we don't get to see, they'll be like, yeah, this isn't working. We got to change this. And they would, because that's what they do when they look at that stuff. That was my biggest gripe about it. So I don't know. I think it was a combination of everything. You know, social media these days, if one thing turns into this, one little thing turns into this biggest thing, and, you know, it's this big snowball effect. And, you know, I thought it was funny on Reddit when it blew up. And I'm like, out of all the things that I joked with Albert the other night, is the fact that, you know, out of all the things that are happening in the world, and all of a sudden, boom, this is the big thing, and there's everything else in the world, and apparently that doesn't mean much on Reddit. This does. So I don't know. It was very interesting to see what happened.
I was just going to say, I think that this game, from the onset, was designed with these microtransactions in mind. They had to do something to not do a season pass. So I applaud them for going and trying to revamp the progression system and everything now, understanding that this wasn't the best idea, but I think it's too late. They designed the multiplayer around this concept. So how much can they really change?
Well,
it's really,
can't they? I mean, I think anything can change, and they can certainly go in and they can change the amount of credits you get. They can change the amount of parts you get, and they can change how you get Star. They can change a whole lot of things. I think they could do it. The question is, will they? And I think that's where we're at, is will they? Will they go to what I think most of us want, which is a cosmetic? Like, let me pay for cosmetics. Because I'll be honest, if they let me pay for Anakin but have Vader's powers, done. If go to an Injustice style of RMT.
That's ruining my immersion. No, I don't like it.
Yeah, right? But go to,
it's just like Cross-Era Heroes. I hate that.
Oh, I love this Cross-Era Heroes stuff. And they've
said, I know, Joe. I know. You just like Joe. I hate it.
But they've said it's a video game, and that's what
it's the, my immersion, I've
got
sir.
You. I've got your immersion right here in my pants.
Cross Generation's the best.
It really is. Like, let me.
I'm only kidding, by the way.
No, I'm I know you are. But I mean, let me have the opportunity to purchase Obi-Wan Kenobi. Let me have the opportunity to purchase Revan. Let me have the opportunity to purchase.
Let me ask you this: if we want to get into the game here, now I would like to see young Obi-Wan. Yeah, as a hero, absolutely. But I want to see old Obi-Wan as a hero. I don't want the skin. I want the version.
The actual
of
version,
that.
Absolutely, with different powers. Correct. Yes, and I think if they did that, if they sold me Obi-Wan for $7.99, young Obi-Wan, I'd buy it. If they sold me old Obi-Wan
skin,
for $7.99,
I want like different abilities,
yes,
like his abilities
absolutely.
At that point.
Just
all right,
just like in Injustice, you go to an Injustice style where you can purchase, like you get all these heroes and villains, right? But then, oh, you want Darkseid? That's going to cost you some money. Oh, you want Sub-Zero? It's going to cost you some money. Oh, you want, you know, this version of Supergirl? Oh, it's going to cost you some money. Like, that's what I want. I want them to just give me everyone in Star Wars. Like, I don't care.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, to 2019, that's the thing. And I think this is why, you know, on Discord, it was mentioned that, you know, that's why the leveling up is kind of slow in a way, because it's going to be around a while. So they don't want everyone burnt out on, you know, whatever it is. So, you know, anyway.
No,
this was designed to be a games as a service, much like Destiny or Division.
Yeah, and I think they've kind of failed. They see that, and I think they have a big opportunity here, and I think that's where we're going to leave it. I do want to do this. Is there anyone here that disagrees that this is the worst launch in the history of a video game? Can you think of a launch of a video game that went
worse? The Order
worse?
1886.
I don't know what that is.
But that's not a big IP like Star Wars.
Could I say SOTOR? I knew
you were going to say that. I love it. I love it. Work harder. I love it.
Does that count? Because I would say that, maybe.
That was Stormblood was bad for Final Fantasy 14. That was not a good launch. But I think just in terms of controversy, this one wins. This is hands down the worst. The worst launch ever.
I'm just going to go back and play Rampage.
Nice. Are you? I'm hoping they release Rampage to tie in with this new Rock movie, but I digress.
Yeah, well, I hope they do it on Nintendo Switch, because I'll buy it because of that.
God, why do you troll me so hard? We're friends, and you trolled me. You trolled me so. So let me just real quick around the room, give me from 1 to 10 this game within the context of the launch, the controversy, the pay-to-win feeling, the Harvey Weinstein-level raping of the wallet. 1 to 10.
I like to get raped, apparently.
Mike's giving this a high score. He's bringing me the Harvey Weinstein. He likes that scratchy beard.
I do. I would give it a solid 8, considering all factors. You know, it's not perfect, but to me, I love playing the game. So, you know, I'm going to give it an 8.
So let me ask you this. Does it change when you take that out, when you take this launch out? Does it go from an 8 to a 9?
It'd go to a 10 for me.
There you go. I'm all right with that then. Cab, what about you?
Yeah, I'm right in the middle with the you know, with the controversy and all. I settle it at 9 out of 10. You know, taking everything into account, including the future of the game, seeing how, you know, how many days into the early release of the game, you know, they were already getting issues taken care of. I like to keep an optimistic view on it.
Seriously?
And basically I'm incredibly optimistic
You really are. You are an optimistic young man, and that will serve you well in life.
Well,
good for you. Good for you. Don't lose that youthful optimism, sir.
Overall, this is one of the few areas that I'm that overly optimistic in, you know, in the world of Star Wars or video games. But yeah, I have a pretty good feeling that we are going to be rewarded down the line. I don't want to say for loyalty to Battlefront, I think it'll be, yeah.
Okay.
I think we'll certainly get our money's worth out of it, to say the very least.
All right. Well, that's some optimistic thinking there, young man. The other young man in the chat here.
I wish I was that optimistic. I have been jaded in life. I give this a solid 7.5.
Wow. I am the only one that's going to do it. Fine. To hell with all of you. One. This is a one. This game, in the context of everything, this is the.
You've been reading the stupid posts up on whatever freaking online thing it is.
I joined 4chan.
Oh, come on. Ew. Seriously? I mean, really?
I don't even know.
I mean, I get the launch. All right. You can call it maybe give it a 3. But the game overall, you cannot.
The campaign alone is going to raise at least a few points.
Wait, let me give my explanation before you stone me.
It's explanation. I'll translate. I read a few things online and I went with that.
The progression system for me, before they took it out, now that it's all kinds of out of whack, I don't think you can put it in into any kind of real review until it's fixed. But with the way it was, with the launch, with the divisiveness that it has caused, with the controversy it has caused, with Disney having to step in, with being probably one of the worst launches of a video game in history, and just the overall stress level that it has caused me, it's a one.
I think you just caused all the problems. I don't think it was anyone else. I think it was just you.
Just read the Discord. I am a troublemaker.
I will silently agree with Mike.
Probably, maybe a 3, at most a 3. It was bad. Now, let me try to redeem myself here.
No redeeming you, sir. You're not Vader.
That's probably true. When you take this out, when you take the launch out, when you take the RMT out, when you take the controversy out, when you take the missteps out, when you take EA out of the equation, and you look at the game as a whole, 8.5, solid 8.5. And I'm going to talk about why, and then I'll go around. I'll get everybody's thoughts and opinions on what you will rate the game overall after we talk about all this stuff. So the first thing, the game, the graphics are on point. Like, DICE did a good job with this game. I don't think any of us here play this game and go, it doesn't feel like Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars. I dare say it feels like you're in a movie, especially when you're playing the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Props to Mitchie D and the team at DICE for writing this story, because this is a true Star Wars story, in my opinion, and it felt like I had a movie there. If you just took the cutscenes out, it is Star Wars Episode 6.5.
The graphics are awesome. There are a few moments where it wasn't, I don't know if it was because of my internet connection or just the server or whatever it would have been. There were a few moments there where it was like, yeah, all right. But overall,
the money is spent.
It's money. It's spot on. It's not. I think it's a beautiful game, actually. I can't complain about that.
No, absolutely. There's no tearing. There's no writing in and out. There's none of that. It looks beautiful. The environments look great. The sound. Let me just talk about the sound for a minute. Like, when you talk about a Star Wars game, like, there are some iconic sounds, from the lightsaber to the lasers to the ships. There are iconic sounds found throughout the Star Wars universe, and this game is no different.
Well, speaking of that, Crowley, I found an Easter egg on Mos Eisley.
Did you?
Now, yes, everyone goes to the cantina, like when you're playing in the game there, in the middle of the game where there's battles going on there, there's firefights and stuff. That's not the cantina we see in the movie at all. Everyone's all like, oh, that's the cantina. No, it's not. There's a round bar. The cantina that we all know is a U-shape. Right. But anyway, so if you go, it's to the left. I think if you're on the Imperial side, the Rebellion, you go, there's a yellow door. If you get up next close to the door, I did it last night. I don't know if you've heard it or not, Crowley, but you can hear the cantina band playing, which I, you know, fondly, I enjoyed awesome. Quite a bit. I got killed a few times just listening, but, you know, there's that. And yes, the sounds are incredible. They're awesome. You can't go, especially I've done the Starfighter mode and Boba Fett in the Slave One did the sound charge. Oh my, that thing is awesome. It's cool.
Like, we talked a lot on the Gran Turismo show, Garrick, about the sound of the engines and the sound of the cars and how on point that was. I think this is on a different level.
It definitely is.
Like, it adds to the overall. Now, the one thing I would critique just a little bit, and I would take off maybe a tenth or a hundredth of a point here on my overall score of the game, is that the music, I want an expanded soundtrack. I want more music. I want different music. And hopefully, as they release more content, we'll get that. But I do like how when you become a hero, the music changes. We talked about that in the beta. That hasn't changed. When you play as Darth Maul, you get Duel of the Fates. I just wish that that the music would be a little more epic. But the sounds are on point. Absolutely on point. As are the graphics. I mean, everything about this game screams Star Wars. It's absolutely amazing. So that's 10 out of 10. I mean, or 9.99 out of 10. Game modes are the same as beta, but they've added a couple more. There's the arcade, and that is an expanded arcade with all kinds of challenges and things that you can earn crystals, you can earn loot boxes, and you can earn credits in.
I was just playing it actually before we came on, and I actually enjoyed it. It wasn't that bad. I tried to do the number 3 with Darth Maul, where you're like 40 seconds or something and you got to kill 20 people or whatever it is. I was horrible at it.
Right? Like, some of those are really hard. And I know that once you get used to the game, it might become second nature and a little bit easier. I think the 3-star challenges are supposed to be challenging.
Obviously.
But I would imagine at some point we'll all get past them if we can stop playing multiplayer long enough to actually play the arcade. But you're right. I played a little bit of the arcade just so that I could say I've played all the modes, and it's fun. It's engrossing. It is, and it's more laid back than multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the campaign, because I know this was already brought up. And you're right, Garrick. The story is great. What's his name? Mitchie D. Is that what?
Yeah, Mitch Dyer, Mitchie D on Twitter.
Like, sure, he did a good job with this story. Here's my issue with the story, and spoiler alert, there will be spoilers, okay? Garrick, if you finish the story, please tell me you finished the story.
No, go ahead and spoil it.
Oh, I want to punch you so hard, but you're sick, and I won't.
Yeah, that's why I haven't beaten it yet.
Okay, look, here's my one complaint. If you haven't read Inferno Squad, which if some of you are out there going, what's Inferno Squad? Like, you're an idiot, number one. Number two, it's the book that kind of ties in to the game that... The game ties into everything, pretty much. Ties in right after Return of the Jedi. It ties in all the way up to The Last Jedi. Look, if you haven't read the book, you're kind of left out. And I haven't read the book.
Well,
I'm left out. I want context as to why are they fighting on Jakku? Like, we all knew there was this huge battle that happened on Jakku at some point from the last movie. And now, I don't know why they're there at the end of the campaign. I just know that I'm there and I'm doing stuff.
Well... I guess it doesn't really matter, really, what the reason is. I'll say this. Even with reading Inferno Squad and Aftermath, Empire's End, and stuff like that, it still felt a little not as, I don't know, packing the punch, so to speak, and kind of hollow.
Tacked
like
on.
That. Yeah, like with the moment with the dad and before, you know, on Jakku there. I'm not trying not to spoil it.
Oh, go ahead
here.
And spoil it. Spoil
just
away.
Just do it, man. I'm like, I'm right there. I just crashed on the ship, and I'm like...
Well,
it's
all right.
Firefight.
All right. So when her and her father have their touching moment, it's kind of flat a little bit. And her defecting, which I'd said months ago when I read the book Inferno Squad, that she was going to defect anyway because she let Lux Ventari live and all that stuff. And she didn't go through with being the bloodthirsty villain there. So there were seeds of it. It was kind of predictable, kind of knew where it was going. It was still intriguing. It was better than any comic that I've read in the last 2 years or something. And even right. It rivals some of the novels that I've read, which haven't been all that great lately. So I'll leave it at that.
Look, and Cab, I'm gonna get to you in a second because you and I talked about this last night. Okay. Yep. You and I and Jonesy had this long conversation after everybody logged off, and the three of us, like Utini, got tired of it, and he's like, yeah, I'm just gonna leave and not say anything. Because we talked for so long about so much, but this story feels tacked on, it feels added. It's not that it's not epic, it's that they didn't do enough backstory. So the turn, the defection of my girl, my woman, my hall pass, Janina Gavankar, when she defected from the Empire, it felt hollow. It felt forced. It felt like she was doing it and you didn't understand why. Her dad is the admiral, for crying out loud. Why is she betraying her father? There's no context there other than he told me to pick this person up and not get anybody else. And I see that the planets might be destroyed right now. It's just a lot of storms. Why am I betraying family and for a planet full of strangers? There's no up until that point in just the story.
Greater good, maybe?
Sure.
I don't know. Millions of people kind of outweigh your family at that point. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Mr. Spock, where the good of the many outweigh the good of the few or the one.
Exactly.
Right. I just wanted to make sure you understood you were making a Star Wars or Star Trek.
I know. Okay. I'll pretend it didn't happen.
Cab, go ahead, my man. Like, do you disagree?
Well, first of all, I do want to establish the fact I thoroughly enjoyed this campaign. I think the defection and Aiden's relationship with her father is something that was benefited a whole lot more by the book than pretty much any other plot point, purely because should I spoil the book?
Yes, go ahead, spoil it. Like, I'm not going to read the book.
So he absolutely sucks as a dad.
Okay, but you don't know that.
And that's kind of a Star Wars thing, though. Yeah. I mean,
well,
you know,
I guess there's some, Ray, sure, you know, there are some themes there for sure. And I get that, but it's not, as a gamer going into this and knowing that there's going to be a tie-in to The Last Jedi in some way, this story just kind of feels like they had a bunch of storyboard elements on a dartboard and they threw darts and they're like, all right, what do we want to do?
I think it's there's a lot more that's going to be coming out with the
exactly
the story, you know, the story DLC. I hate to
spoil it.
So the final level where you're playing as Kylo, I'm sorry, Garrick.
When you're on the acid trip?
Yes, yeah. This is a disclaimer. Crowley made me spoil. When you're on the acid trip,
I'm getting blamed for everything tonight.
Well, you invited me.
I did. That's true.
The fact that we find out Del and Aiden, you know, got married, had a kid, I find that to be incredibly intriguing. I don't think they would have mentioned that.
Oh, here we go.
If there wasn't something.
Let me ruin this for you. And well,
actually, Crowley,
right
we might
now.
Actually agree on this. This might be a miracle.
Much as I wish Janina Gavankar was Rey's mother, she is not. They would not spoil this. They would not reveal this in a video game. They would not reveal it in a book. They would not reveal it in a comic book. They wouldn't post it on 4chan, Twitter, Reddit, or anywhere else other than a movie.
They wouldn't do it with a fox.
Exactly.
I will accept your apology.
After The Last Jedi releases. Okay.
I think so. I guess without getting too specific, the fact that, you know, Rey has a British accent. But really they don't outside of the Empire. And maybe, could you consider Obi-Wan a little bit? Maybe.
Yes.
But.
Well, he was a Sith Lord after all. No, only kidding.
Yoda knew.
I find it incredibly convenient, and I love it, even if it doesn't end up happening.
I think this is more EA and, well, not EA, but like DICE and that just fanning the flames, knowing that we're all morons and want this answer for the last 3 years, which is drove fandom into insanity and we're all hating on each other.
I agree with Mike. Mark it down. Like, Mike and I agree on this 100%. This is them leading us to where they want us to go.
Well, correct. And I laughed because when I was recording the top half of next week's episode, episode 208, with Albert, and we were talking about this, and we both kind of agree. And I said, well, I will laugh in the theater if we find out that this is the case. And I said, the only thing that gives this, like, really gives it legs is the fact that we're told that, you know, it's irrelevant who her parents are. And, well, I guess in a way, her parents being Aiden and Del would be irrelevant in a way, but important in a way, not like a Skywalker type thing, but
irrelevant to the
correct
common audience.
Correct. And I just don't think they'll do that because she's Luke's daughter and we're just all going to have to accept that.
Holy
like
crap.
I have.
Not Luke's daughter either.
No. I've accepted that she's probably going to be no one that we know of, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to like it or anything. I'm just saying I have a bias and I want, because I'm a father, that I want, you know, it to be his daughter, but it's not going to happen because it's me and I have bad luck.
I think this would be the perfect balance of it being someone, you know, the common audience member isn't going to care or know about, and rewarding the people who are the fans and they get into all the content.
Can we start a change.org petition that we want Janina?
Listen, everyone complained about the loot crates. I'm going to start a campaign that they're going to have to retcon everything that she's Luke's daughter. So I'm going to cause a stink and I'm going to get it my way like everybody else did.
No, I don't care if she's Luke, if she's Rey's mother or whatever. I don't care. I just want her in a movie.
I just don't want Raylo. Yeah. I just don't want that.
I
want
to be able to sing the Shiva song in the theater during The Last Jedi or Episode 9. That's all I want.
Absolutely. Well, I did say also the other night with Albert, I said it would be cool to see her in the background or because I think she's going to appear on screen at some point.
I do too.
I really want her to appear.
I absolutely do.
I think she will.
She's an actress anyway. I think she can do it. It might even, I don't know. I just think she'll appear. It'll be interesting, to say the least.
I want to see her appear in a lot of things. And I'll just...
We shall see.
I just want to leave it at that because I'm afraid I'm going to get sued for Harvey Weinstein-level sexual harassment on a podcast, which we live in that day and age, and I don't want that to happen. So let me just do this campaign tacked on. Garrick, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Cab, tacked on, yes or no?
No. Ugh.
Mike, tacked on, yes or no?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yes! He agrees with me on that, too. It is tacked on. It's a little forced.
Because you're going to get more content coming down the line, and the story will probably fill in a little bit better.
Right.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that does kind of detract from the overall score of the game. Now, there are a couple of other modes that we certainly did not get to tonight. Blast, which is probably one of my more favorite modes.
Which is what you should be playing to unlock all the attachments and stuff for your blaster, Carly.
Yeah,
so.
and you posted in your Discord a video, and I wanted to get who it was, but they basically said unlock the hero crates. Don't spend your time with the 4,400 credit crates, the trooper crate, and don't waste your time with the starfighter crate. Get unlock the hero crates. It's the cheapest one. You're going to get the more bang for your buck. I want to give that guy credit, but I don't remember who it was, and I don't care to look. So if you remember what YouTuber that was.
I do not, be honest.
So do that and play Blast. That's probably the quickest way you're going to level up. The Strike is fun, but I think Blast is more fun. It's a little smaller. It's more intimate. And I don't mind hero versus villains. I don't know what all the hate is in the Cantina Cast Discord for HVV.
Whatever. I don't know.
You
it's
don't
good
like
practice
it?
For the hero. Nah, I was never a fan. See, here's the thing. I don't even care about playing the heroes. I'd rather be the reinforcements, actually.
So,
I like them better.
So let me ask you this, Mister. I dropped $100 on this game already. If they brought this out and they said you can play as, I don't know, I'm just gonna throw names out there. Malak. Would you purchase Malak?
Not Malak.
What characters would you purchase? Like, just give me a list of
Revan,
like your top three. Revan. Okay.
Revan would be one.
Plagueis.
Plagueis, oh, definitely. I'd spend $200 for Plagueis.
Have you heard the story of the tragedy of Darth Plagueis?
you know, I got to do, I did tool around as the Emperor today, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe Snoke.
I would pay for that's a good top three. Cab, what's your top three you'd pay for?
Mara Jade.
Oh, I can't really.
Cab, you're out of the Discord. You're out of the Discord. It's not even my Discord, and I'm throwing down the banhammer.
If they bring in any old EU characters, I'm just going to roll in my grave and just puke.
Do you sleep in a grave? I'm confused.
Oh, Plo Koon was. All these characters are going to come. That's the greatest part. Like Ahsoka, Rex, and all. They get Commander Bakara, the Galactic Marines, as a character. I'll drop 500 on that. Easy. No, I'm only kidding. I wouldn't drop 500, but well, you never know. No, I wouldn't do that.
I'm trying to think one other person.
Kit Fisto.
Nah.
Just throwing out a name.
I don't know. Like R2. I don't know.
You know what? I would probably I'd play with 3PO. I would drop money on 3PO. Yeah.
Garrett. Well, you laugh, but there is a mission in the old Battlefront 1 where you are R2 is you got to escape from all the Imperials and stuff like that. So maybe you'll get that again.
Hey, R2 saves everybody all the time. So I don't know what the problem is. K2SO. I'd drop money for that. I'd drop money for Jyn Erso. Garrick, top three you'd drop money on.
Number one.
Oh, here we go.
Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, my
God. Misa agree.
Number two.
Only so I can watch him die repeatedly.
Wicked. But, like, his main skill is going to be, like, accidentally tripping all the time and every shot misses.
Did you say wicked?
Nothing ever hits him.
Garrick, I hate to interrupt. Did you say wicked?
Yeah, I did.
So you can just watch him die repeatedly?
Nah, it'd just be funny. It'd be like Yoda. When you see Yoda walking around, running around, you know, that's crazy.
You're crazy. Garrick, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Number one was...
Number two. Right. Mace Windu, guys. Come on.
He's Mace Windu. Yep. I'd pay for Mace Windu.
Hell yeah. Number three, I don't know. Probably Revan as well.
Revan, man. He's my number one, without a doubt. Revan... I would also, like I said, probably Mace Windu would be number two.
Well, for nostalgia reasons, I would go with Darth Malgus, Crawley.
Oh, Malgus would be a good one to play with. Or the Sith Emperor. Like, if he can have some kind of life drain, like, I would do that.
Wouldn't do that.
Who is the other one?
Malak.
That's him. I would.
I would definitely do it for him because I love that guy. Yep. He was only in there for like 2 seconds.
Yep.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter. They were the best 2 seconds ever.
Exactly.
So real quick, we're gonna go around the horn here one more time. Just out of 10, what do you rate this game? And would you buy it or would you recommend somebody to hold off? And we'll start with Mike from the Cantina Cast.
Well, I think the game was made for people like me that are Star Wars fans that suck at gaming. Not so much gamers per se, which is probably where the bitching is coming from because, you know, as I've always said, Crawley, there's two unhappy people in the world. It's Star Wars fans and gamers, and you add them together, you're just not going to win regardless. But
That's a dangerous combination.
That is probably the truest statement that has ever been uttered on this show.
Exactly. We hate everything that we love, but we love it. So, we just like to complain. But I would say I give it a 10, as I said, gameplay-wise. We're talking gameplay and all that stuff. I give it a 10 because I'm not bored with it like I was with the other one. I like it. It's probably the best Star Wars game I've played, and I like the original Battlefront 1 and 2 back in the, early 2000s, 1999 or whatever, whenever that came out. I enjoyed that. That was fun. Would I recommend it to someone? If they're a Star Wars fan like me, yes. But if they're, casual gamer, casual moviegoer, Star Wars fan, I would say hold off till Christmas or maybe something, maybe when it's half off or whatever.
Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly. And jump in and have fun. That's all. That's where I would leave it.
All right. Cab?
I have purchased a copy for my Xbox and my PlayStation, and I do not regret any of it.
You're such a bad gamer.
I would absolutely recommend it, especially if you are a Star Wars fan and you just like having fun with a video game. Is it competitive perfection? If you're coming from a competitive gaming scene, no, but it is a thoroughly enjoyable game, literally every way, visually, the sound, you mentioned earlier, the sound, the gameplay, the mechanics, everything is just a lot of fun. And if you like having fun, that's certainly a good game to get.
So you rated a what?
I stick to the 9 out of 10, and that's taking absolutely everything into consideration. That one hit just being the fact that the controversy, you know, taking that into account. But I think all the positives of the game far outweigh it, and I couldn't be really any happier, especially keeping in mind what's coming down the, you know, the pipeline. So,
right. And Mike, what did you rate this game? So we've got 1 9 out of 10. What do you got?
I gave it a 10.
10, yeah.
That's so, you know, I, and that's not with all the controversy and all the problems. Gameplay wise, is a 10. You know, as I said earlier, probably an 8.5 with all the controversy and the issues that they got to work out. But playing it, I love playing. I love playing with you guys last night. That was a lot of fun again. It was amazing. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. That's what I want is fun. And just that's it.
No, I don't disagree at all. Garrick?
Overall, probably say an 8 out of 10. It's a great story. I love the gameplay.
That's now been spoiled for you.
The multiplayer works. Yeah, the content coming is going to be free. But having gotten my deluxe edition for free, for reasons I can't disclose, I would not pay $60 for this game, but I would play this game.
What would you pay for this game? So would you wait for a Black Friday sale? I mean, look, Thanksgiving's coming up. Would you wait? See what it goes on.
Black Friday sales? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even $10 off, worth it. But
man, you know what?
$60 price tag, not worth it.
When you talk about, and I don't want to go down this rabbit hole, especially at the end of the show. But when you talk about how you wouldn't spend $60 for a game where they're saying we need more money because of the licensing, because of the cost that went into this game, so we've got real money transactions that blew up in our faces, and you're telling me I wouldn't spend the $60 you'd charge me if you didn't have the RMTs. Like, that's a bold statement, my friend. That is a bold statement that I don't agree with, oddly enough. Like, me being the pessimist of the group, I give this game, taking all the controversy out, because if you put the controversy in, it's a 3, and I'm with Garrett. But you take the controversy out, which they have pretty much done at this point. Now, if it comes back, it comes back, and then we can deal with it then as a gaming
community.
Could just
be beating a dead horse at that point, though.
Well, if it comes back, I think you're going to see a lot of hate. You're going to see people put this game away and not touch it.
I won't be one of them.
Is the exact same game as Battlefront 1, so, I mean, all they've done is tagged on a campaign and revamped the progression system, but intents and purposes,
I guess,
like, this is the same.
But it's not random who picks up heroes.
Well, see, I always took it as, like, Battlefront 1 was the prototype,
yes,
and they launch it, and then this was the actual game, like they did with The Force Unleashed 1 and 2, same thing, really, that's how I looked at it. I think even the original Battlefront 1 and 2, I felt that way as well. You know, I see Garrick's point, and it's a valid point. It is a new, shinier version of what we had before. But, you know, it looks good, I guess.
It's interesting.
It definitely looks good.
It's interesting to see the dichotomy between two Star Wars fans. Now, Cab, admittedly, you are a gamer. You have an Xbox.
Yes.
You have, you know, and Mike, it's not that you're not a gamer. I think you're more of a Star Wars fan, though, than you are a gamer.
Oh, correct. Okay. Well, I only have so many minutes in a day, you know, to invest here, there, and everywhere. You know what I mean? With the podcast, Star Wars in general, and work, life, and all that other stuff. And I'm more of a casual gamer. Something comes my way. Yeah, all right, I'm going to do that. And, like, this is my one big purchase for a video game for a while is basically this. So this is where I spend on the deluxe edition, where, like, normally I'd be like Garrick, like, yeah, all right, whatever. I'll wait till it's on sale or whatever. May come along because it's like I'm usually like him. I'll look at it like, oh, it's just a newer version of it, and they just polished it up. That's all it is, really. But as a Star Wars fan, yeah, I sunk my teeth into it. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. I think they've improved it, and I hope they just improve it as they go along and keep their word and keep building on that. And hopefully, what's to come is worth all of this.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with anything you just said at all. And so, again, I give this game 8.5 out of 10, taking the controversy out of it. It's just interesting to me to see the dichotomy between what gamers think and what Star Wars fans think. And I think that there is a difference between the two. I think EA tried to do a blatant cash grab, a blew up in their face. And at this point, it's damage control. And hopefully, like I said, I believe EA has an opportunity here to really change the industry as a whole for the better. And I hope they take it. However, given their track record, I have a feeling that come end of December, after the Last Jedi launches and the fandom is at its peak, that we're going to see the cash grab resume, and then I will be forced to put this game away and never buy anything that EA puts out again.
Look, so you're not going to play anything then?
Throne of Lies. I will play that because that game is awesome. Okay.
Well, there's always Pac-Man.
Dude, I mean, you and I can go back to SWTOR. It's free to play.
Yeah, jeez. But that's EA, though.
That's a good point. Look, I want to thank both Cab and Mike from the Cantina Cast for stopping by and spending the hour with us and talking and putting up with my insanity. It's been great having you guys. You're both back. Welcome back anytime. Mike, do you want to tell the people just one last time where they can find you?
Just look up the Cantina Cast on iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever. You know, one of the podcatchers out there. You'll find us. We're around. But Instagram is probably the best way to start, I guess you could say. And that's at the Cantina Cast. That's where I am, and that's where I like to be on social media, at least.
Look, I don't usually pimp other people's podcasts because I'm just not that kind of guy. I've known Mike for a long time. He puts out a quality product. If you're a Star Wars fan, even if you're a casual Star Wars fan, Cantina Cast does things differently than most Star Wars podcasts. They have a lot of content. They're pumping out content every week. They've got special bonus episodes. If you become a Patreon member, they've got special stuff for you. And they're putting out quality and unique content, things like character dissections that you're not going to find anywhere else. It's in depth. They have special guests on within the Star Wars community, within the Star Wars fandom, within the Star Wars celebrity. So check them out. Really give them a listen. Mike and Joa do a great job. I can't say that enough. So we are
very. Wow, you're making me blush, sir. Stop.
I don't do that very often, but both you and Joa have been nice enough to come on the show now and talk about Star Wars Battlefront 2, both in beta form and now with the release. And we would love to have both of you guys back at the same time at some point, so we can talk to you both. So again, thank you for stopping by. And again, if you're even just a casual fan of Star Wars, check out the Cantina Cast. Cab, you want to give your gamer tags one more time? Even yeah. You can even throw out your filthy Xbox.
I'll start with that one. Again, Xbox, Cab, C-A-B, 512. PlayStation is C-A-B-K-R-U-B. I think I misspoke earlier. It's C-A-B-K-R-U-B.
There you go. Look, I was with Cab last night.
And this morning.
Yeah, no, and this morning we're talking with him on Discord.
Well, here's the thing, Carl, you were supposed to go to bed before I went to bed.
Right, and I did.
How did that happen?
Dude, it was a Jonesy. Look, I want to give a shout out to a couple people from the Cantina Cast Discord real quick. Jonesy, Utini, Katie, who else was with us last night, Mike? I know I'm forgetting.
I can't remember who the hell was with us. I barely remember I was there.
Right, but it was such a good time. Like, I just, Soul Assassin, if you're listening out there by some chance, just know that
soon to be in a novel.
You will be in Katie's novel, and it will be amazing because I am going to critique that novel and put all kinds of notes in the margins. So come check us, check them out on Cantina Cast Discord and play with them, play with us, play with Harvey Weinstein. He likes that a lot. If you want to check us out at Bad Gamers Anon on Twitter. Check us out on facebook.com/badgamersanonymous. Probably the best place, like Mike said, Instagram, Bad Gamers Anonymous. Search for us. If you have a comment about the show, you have a comment about me just being me, 319-804-9205. Leave a message. Crowley76 PSN, Garrick DR PSN, and Garrick DR on Twitch. That's the show. I did talk to Bishop. He'll be back at some point. So we wish Bishop well. He will be back. But for the absentee Bishop, for Mike from the Cantina Cast, for Cav from the filthy Xbox universe, and for my co-host, the peanut butter to my jelly, the salmon in my role, Garrick. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't even know how to take that. This is Bad Gamer Carly saying we'll see you next week. And have a happy Thanksgiving.